Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Last month, the mayors of five California cities filed papers with the state to place the Pension Reform Act of 2014 on next year's ballot. If California voters approve the act, it would amend the state's constitution to allow governments to cut pensions for current and future employees. The initiative needs more than 800,000 signatures to qualify for next November's ballot. The plan is spearheaded by San Jose Mayor Chuck Reed, and is backed by the mayors of Anaheim, Santa Ana, San Bernardino, and Pacific Grove. Anaheim's mayor is the only Republican, and the rest are Democrats. They say rising pension costs are overwhelming city budgets and preventing them from providing public services like libraries and road construction. Firefighters, school employees, and police officers say the initiative would give public employers the power to cut retirement benefits to workers who make an average pension of $26,000 a year. So on today's Your Call, we're hosting a debate about the future of public employee pensions in California. Pacific Grove Mayor Bill Camp says pension costs are responsible for a significant part of his city's reduced staff and services and will continue to threaten the city's fiscal well-being unless something is done. He says Pacific Grove pays 20% of its $16.5 million annual general fund budget toward pension costs. And Mayor Camp joins us on the phone from Pacific Grove. Hi, Mayor Camp. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Rose. Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Good morning. Nice to have you. We're also joined by Dave Lowe. He's chairman of Californians for Retirement Security. They represent 1.6 million current and retired public employees. And Dave joins us on the phone from Sacramento. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Nice to have you. So, Mayor Camp, you are a big supporter of the Pension Reform Act of 2014. First off, just go over the basics of this act.
Well, first let me mention the situation in our city, and you actually touched on it. Rising pension costs going back to about 2004 really had an impact on us and caused us to do some staff reductions at the time. And that's been ongoing. We've had reduced street maintenance, library hours shortened, and a number of other services which you've hit. Our goal for the city is very definitely that we want sustainable pensions for our employees. We'd like them to be good pensions, but we also need a financially healthy city, a sustainably healthy city as well. And to do that, this act gives us an extra tool that I think is a very important one, and it does two primary things. Number one is that on a going forward basis, prospectively, it says that we could change, negotiate a change, and this is an important point, negotiate a change in the accrual rates of a pension going forward. The other thing it does is for cities whose pension plans are critically underfunded, it requires that the city and the plan administrators develop a stabilization plan to ensure that there is money there for employees when they go to collect their pension.
And which employees are we talking about specifically?
We're talking about, for us, we have a miscellaneous and general employees plus our public safety employees. And I represent a city, so I'm familiar mostly with CalPERS, but I also know that the teachers' retirement systems are very distressed and perhaps even more so than the CalPERS pension system. So it's critical for them as well. When I listen to teachers in our city talk about their retirement benefits and the prospects looking forward, there's a lot of very anxious humor about it, but they know there's a concern.
Why pensions are getting so much attention in the last couple of years? Why now? Why are you seeing rising pension costs now?
Well, it's not just now for us, and there are a number of factors that go into it. But you go back to about the year 2000, and at that time, the legislature really created plans that were enhanced pension benefit accrual plans. And many cities, ours was one of them, said, yes, that sounds great. And the way it was represented, the money was virtually free to us. The market was very good at the time. Shortly after that, we began to realize there were substantial costs. They were not sustainable costs. In our city, it was clear by 2004. By 2008, our citizens had really become very concerned and very vocal about the pension issue. So we've been in this for a long time. It's not just now, and it precedes the market crash, which only accentuated it and made it a very, very serious issue around the state, and I think much more visible as a result.
And will this apply to all employees regardless of salary?
The initiative would apply to all employees, but it's based on negotiation at the end of contracts, and it's not a blanket cut by any means. Each city may find a different outcome in those dialogues with their employees. Right now, we can negotiate salaries, we can negotiate health benefits, and we think that part of that negotiation that makes it a healthier discussion, ultimately finding better solutions, is also to look at the accrual rate. The one thing that I would take some exception to when we talk about cutting pensions, we're not talking about cutting anything that has already been earned. That's acknowledged. Retirees would not be affected. Anything that someone has earned for the years they've worked would not be affected, and it would be the accrual rates going forward.
That is Pacific Grove Mayor Bill Camp. He is backing the Pension Reform Act of 2014. Last month, the mayors of five California cities filed papers with the state to put this on next year's ballot. They are in the beginning stages. They need 800,000 petition signatures to qualify this for the ballot. All of the mayors, except for the mayor of Anaheim, are Democrats. So you've got one Republican and four Democrats. We're also joined by Dave Lowe, chairman of Californians for Retirement Security, representing 1.6 million current and retired public employees. So, Dave, first off, the mayors say that they're strapped. They have no choice but to take action. What's your response to that?
Well, there's thousands of cities and agencies across California who are in good financial shape. They've managed their budgets well. We have five mayors that have gotten themselves into trouble in many cases because they took pension holidays, stopped paying into the pension plan, and now these politicians want to blame the public employees for their mismanagement of their funds. And they want to take away and break a promise that they made to the employees when they hired them. So, you know, you hire a teacher or a police officer, a school bus driver, and you promise them something. They want to say, in the middle of your career, we can unilaterally just take away your benefits. We cannot just even cut them. We could eliminate them completely. The mayor misrepresents the initiative when he says that it's collective bargaining is required. He needs to read his own initiative. It states that after 180 days, collective bargaining no longer applies, and these mayors can unilaterally cut benefits without collective bargaining, or take benefits away completely and just wipe out pension and health care plans for retirees.
So you're saying that these five cities are in trouble because of pension holidays. Can you elaborate on that?
So when the stock market was good, these cities basically stopped paying into the pension plan. The employees continued paying their share. Anywhere from 7 or 8, 9% of the employees' checks were continuing to go into the pensions. The employers, the mayors, stopped paying and started paying zero. In many cases in San Diego, they used the money to build a parking lot for their ballpark. They put the money into other areas. So, and then when the stock market went south, and the real estate market hit bottom, the pension plans lost a lot of money. That wasn't the fault of the employees. We're talking about my members, school employees, school bus drivers. They make about $1,000 a month in their pension. State employees make about $25,000 a year. Teachers make $35,000 a year, but they don't get Social Security. So These folks are going to have their pensions cut in the middle of their career because of the mismanagement of local mayors.
Mayor Camp, what about that comment about pension holidays?
Yeah, I'd like to actually talk about a number of things that he mentions. One is that he says there's thousands of cities that have done fine. We're in a pool, for example, in public safety with 300 other cities plus, and the truth is that all of those cities are facing very difficult times on pension costs, not just a few cities. Our city did not take any pension holidays. We paid the required CalPERS contribution rates every year and have really stayed on top of that. We are not in, perhaps unlike some of the other cities, we're financially healthy but at a reduced level of services to our citizens. So it's very very different than I think what has been represented. The teacher's retirement system that he does represent is seriously underfunded. It's got a 69% funding ratio, which is considered well below what it should be. Now, one of the things you mentioned that I would absolutely agree on, this is not the fault of individual employees. And it's very important that we recognize that. We have a lot of wonderful employees doing good work, and we need them. And that's one of the reasons why no city is going to unilaterally take away anybody's total pension benefits. In the first place, they can't. The part that's been earned is acknowledged and recognized in this initiative. And cities do need to attract and retain employees. And to do that, they have to offer benefits. So I think this is a very well-written initiative. It gives us an appropriate tool. The citizens in my city really back this. They feel very strongly that it's time that we did something to make pension costs more sustainable.
So, Mayor Camp, what, for example, if a teacher's making $35,000 in a pension, what would you want? I mean, how would you deal with that pension?
Well,
how would you change it?
You quoted right at the beginning a number of $26,000 average, and I don't know where that comes from for sure, but we look at our reports, and I can tell you where it comes from for us. And I'll give you an amusing story, because we were on the phone recently with CalPERS, and we'd asked for an explanation of a number that's a very similar number and said, where does that number come from? And they gave us some data, and by the way, it was $34,000, and I can tell you exactly where it is. It's section 2, page 24, line 15C in the pool, the actuarial reports that we get. So we're looking at that number, and they sent us a list of all of the retirees in our public safety plan who had retired in the past 10 years, and the average salary was $69,000. And the people retiring more recently are retiring in the range per year of $70,000 to $90,000 per year, and some more than that. So this number has been misrepresented. It includes partial pensions. People have worked only for a few years, perhaps left the system and gone somewhere else. It includes multiple instances where they move from one part of the state retirement system to another, and they're collecting several pieces pension. And so that number is just really a terrible number to look at. And I would ask anyone retiring today, particularly in our public safety realm, what do they expect to get? And it's going to be in the $70,000 to $90,000 a year. These are very nice pensions. Retirement ages are at 55%. To say on an accrual basis going forward, if we were to reduce from 3% to 2.5% for the last 10 years of their career, they would get 85% of their salary instead of 90%. This is not a devastating change. And here's the deal. This is why it's just been so intense in our city and for me. The alternative for us has been to sit down with employees and say, I'm terribly sorry, because we are protecting your pension, we can't afford your position anymore. That's neither retirement security nor employment security. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's interesting because the numbers in the media reports are all over the board, and I'd love to ask listeners, if you're a public employee, what do you make and what is your pension? And what do you think a firefighter or a cop or a teacher or a bus driver, what should their pension be? We'd love to hear from you. We're having a debate today about the Pension Reform Act of 2014. The mayors of five California cities just filed papers with the state to put this on the ballot. They still need 800,000 signatures in order for it to qualify. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. Where do you stand on this debate? All eyes are on California, because a lot of people say if this passes in California, it's going to sweep the nation. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. Have you seen any changes in your retirement benefits? Do you think there should be changes? If so, how should they be implemented? You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. So, Dave, you represent 1.6 million current and retired public employees with Californians for Retirement Security. What are their pensions? The mayor says they're between 70 and 90 grand a year.
The mayor's figures are very skewed. You know, my own union, the California School Employees Association, represents school bus drivers, cafeteria workers. I can assure you, none of them are making $70,000 or $90,000 a year, even in their salaries, let alone their pensions. you know, their pensions are, you know, $1,500 a month, on the high end, $2,000, $2,500 a month. There are higher wage employees that make more, but the fact is that Governor Brown just signed legislation that said you cannot even make a pension of more than the Social Security wage. So, you know, nobody can even make a $100,000 pension moving forward in California because of the bill that the governor signed.
Yeah, so just to be clear on this one, it's the pension reform bill, AB 340, increased the retirement age and capped the annual payout to $132,000. It requires current state employees and all new public employees to pay for at least 50% of their pensions and establishes this as the norm for all public workers in California.
That's correct. And the $132,000 is not the pension. That's the wage that the pension can be calculated on. So in order to make $132,000, you'd have to make 100% of your pension in, when you retire, which very few people get. You'd have to work 40, 50 years. So most people, retire with about 60% of their pension. At $132,000 even, if you're making that much money, you'd be retiring with a pension of that's the $70,000 pension that the mayor's talking about. The mayor also said that his city's running perfectly well, that they're in good financial shape. So what he wants to do is break the promise to the employees that he has when they got hired. They got told this is what you're going to earn, and if you are back to plan for retirement in the middle of your career, you can have your pension unilaterally cut. You can be told you're going to pay twice as much for your pension. These are promises that are made to people when they came to work. We don't believe that this is the right way to go, and that's why the mayors are now shopping their initiative to a Texas oil billionaire from Enron who I don't know why we're going to trust somebody from who ran the pensions of Enron workers into the ground to fund an initiative in California to tell us how to run our pensions. Or they've shopped to the Koch brothers and to out of state conservative organizations to fund their initiative.
And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. According to reports, the bulk of the $300,000 that has been set aside to sponsor the measure comes from John Arnold, a young billionaire who was an Enron trader who's now a hedge fund manager, and some money's coming out of Texas. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, let's take a call. We have a retired worker on the line, Fred in San Rafael. Hi, Fred. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I've been hearing numbers thrown around, and they're shocking to me. I was a school teacher, not for a long, long time, but I decided to retire because I needed the benefits. I needed to keep the benefits going, and my district was starting to implode in that direction. So the last speaker was speaking about breaking promises to people. I retired under a rule that if you stayed away for more than 12 consecutive months, you could come back and work up to full time. And the rules changed on me after I stayed away 3 years. I came back to teaching and found that my minuscule $20,000 retirement per year actually put me out of making even a 60% salary. I took a 60% teaching job, and I have to give back some of that $40,000. That the rules have completely changed. And I know there's other people that must be in that situation, because they promised one thing: if you retire and stay away, you can come back and work. Now there's an absolute $40,000, actually under $40,000 this year, $39,000 and change, of what you can earn from the state, any job in state teaching, and then you start giving back to your retirement, even if your retirement is as low as $21,000, which is about what mine is.
Hmm. Can I ask you, Fred, how old are you?
Well, I'm 61.
And what is your pension right now?
My pension is a good benefit package and $21,000 a year.
How do you make ends meet on that?
Well, I work other jobs. I'm a 60% teacher, but even that, I can't keep all the money that I'm actually being offered at the school district.
Well, thank you for calling.
Yeah.
Mayor Camp, it doesn't what I don't understand in these debates is, why isn't there a difference between someone who's making, 20 grand like Fred and someone who's bringing in 100,000 a year? Why not cap it or say we're not going we're not going to affect bus drivers or school teachers? Mayor Camp, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm just thinking about the call for a moment. The thing that I think is the challenge in how this will unfold is to get the social equity into this. for those who clearly are going to be making lower salaries during their entire working life and retiring on lower salaries. Not even the public safety workers get 90% of their last year's salary, whereas for others it's significantly less as a percentage. And that is one of the challenges in our pension system. But there's another party, and you didn't invite members of the public to call in, but what I hear in our city is people who are very insecure financially. They know times are difficult. They have friends who no longer have jobs. They have foreclosed houses next to them. They have never earned at the level that our public workers earn during their lives, and they have no career plans. And those voices are ones we also have to listen to. I do not personally envision that we would have a serious major change in the amount that people would receive as pensions. The levels is a question. Do we have the kind of equity we need across the spectrum? And that's a great question.
We have an email, Mayor Camp, from Robert in Oakland, who says, why are you not instead leading a statewide or national campaign demanding higher taxes on corporations and the super rich? Because, as you know, there are major corporate tax loopholes that affect the state of California.
You know, if we were writing the prescription on all the things we'd like to do, that would be a great one to have on the list. For me, I'm a mayor of a small city. We don't have multinational corporate headquarters in our city. We don't have big shopping malls. We don't have a lot of the other things that have been cushioned for a lot of cities. We see a very direct correlation between rising pension costs and reduction in services, and it's just that simple. I don't know the Wall Street bankers that Mr. Lowe has talked about or Enron executives. I just know that our city has been affected by pensions, and to me, this is where we go at this point. It needs state-level action. There's very little cities can do on their own. We really do need some flexibility through change in state law that allows us to deal with this in a more constructive way than we deal now.
Are mayors talking about things, though, like corporate tax loopholes?
Well, what we talk about a lot as mayors, at least in our city, is how do we get the streets fixed?
You know, I would want to note that the corporate tax loopholes in California in the state budget, there's over $60 billion of corporate tax loopholes in the state budget. And the total cost of state employee pensions is less than $5 billion. You know, the corporate tax loopholes are 10 times larger than the entire cost of state employee pensions, which is about less than 5% of the entire state budget. Corporate tax loopholes make up, you know, over 50% of the state budget in size.
What about that, Mayor Camp?
The reality is that what we've always heard on this topic is somewhere out there in a different place, there's a solution that should magically be available. This is a needed initiative regardless of whether you plug the corporate loopholes. And by the way, our citizens are not eager to see a lot of increased taxation. I know the large corporations can be a wonderful target. What we see is that you really have to ask yourself, why is it that an error in judgment that was both a CalPERS, in my mind, a CalPERS error in judgment in offering plans that are not sustainable?
Mayor Camp, hold that thought. We'll talk about that right after the break. That's Pacific
okay.
Grove Mayor Bill Camp. We're also joined by Dave Lowe with Californians for Retirement Security. We'll be back after this.
This is Your Call on KALW, a program that relies on engaged listeners. We invite you to join today's conversation / debate by calling 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. Or if you're more comfortable just typing your comment or question, you can send it to yourcallradio.org. yourcallradio.org.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have a conversation about what is fueling the world's food crisis. 1 billion people around the globe go to bed hungry every night. And according to the Food and Agricultural Organization of the UN, food production must be doubled by 2050 to feed an expected 9 billion people. So what are the root causes of hunger and what are the solutions? That's tomorrow. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are hosting a debate about the Pension Reform Act of 2014. Last month, the mayors of five California cities, San Jose, Anaheim, Santa Ana, San Bernardino, and Pacific Grove, filed papers with the state to place this act on next year's ballot. They will need 800,000 signatures in order for it to qualify. Anaheim's mayor is the only Republican. The rest are Democrats. They say that rising pension costs are overwhelming their budgets, and they have no choice but to act. Firefighters, school employees, and police officers say the initiative would give public employers the power to cut their benefits. They say that the average pension is $26,000 a year. Pacific Grove Mayor Bill Camp says it's between $70,000 and $90,000. We'd love to hear from you. If you're a retired employee or if you're a public employee, what is your pension going to be? What is your pension right now? And when you think about teachers, janitors, school bus drivers, what should their pension be? And where do you stand on this pension debate? The toll-free number, we have one line open, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website. Today, we're joined by Pacific Grove Mayor Bill Camp and Dave Lowe, Chairman of Californians for Retirement Security. And just briefly, Mayor Camp, because we want to get to calls, you were talking about CalPERS before the break.
Yes, and by the way, I want to mention the 70 to 90,000. That's absolutely the number for our public safety employees, but not for all employees, and I want to acknowledge that.
Okay, public safety.
The issue in 2000 is that pension benefits took a leap forward. It was kind of manna from heaven. A lot of cities jumped on the bandwagon and said, that sounds great, and it sounds free. And to me, that was a serious error in judgment. The legal environment in California today says that a city council cannot go back and correct that error in judgment. And to me, that's fundamentally wrong and a really serious problem. What this initiative will allow us to do is go back and reset some of those levels of pensions that were good pensions before, got even better, but they have reached the point where they're not sustainable. And that's the fundamental dilemma. I do want to talk about briefly the promise. And here's the dilemma with the promise, and I've heard this very often. And I know this is very intensely felt. Our contracts do not include anything that promises a lifetime forever guarantee. Our city municipal code nor our charter make that promise. And it's our belief that the Constitution of the state of California doesn't. There were some court interpretations that have become the California rule, and that is from day one, there ever after, you have this implied promise that your benefits can only go up and can never be adjusted downward for any reason. And that is a very, very constraining thing in terms of being able to manage cities for healthy finances. And the consequences is that our city and other cities are doing things that are not healthy for the employees, which is staff reductions.
Dave, quick response, and then we'll get to calls.
Yeah, the fact is the state constitution does make that promise. The Supreme Court has heard this issue a dozen times and decided in every single case that that promise is in the state constitution. And that's why these mayors are pushing an amendment to the state constitution to break that promise. So the mayor's incorrect in saying that there's not a promise there. It's been tried in the Supreme Court, and it's been made very clear that this is a promise made to employees that cannot be abrogated.
Well, we have full lines, so let's hear from Eric in Santa Cruz. Hi, Eric. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to bring into focus something the mayor's been talking about, but I think it needs more definition, and that is the difference between public safety employees and other employees. Public safety employees generally accrue 3% of their salary a year, up to 90%. They can retire after 30 years of service at the age of 50 at 90% of their salary. Also, public safety employees like Santa Cruz just hired some new police officers. These brand new police officers are starting out at over $67,000 a year, no experience, and that's not including overtime. So very often the highest paid employee of a city is a fire battalion chief. Basically, cops and firefighters make really big salaries, they get huge pensions, they can retire at age 50, which not only is really burdensome financially for the city, but what it does is, you know, you have fire, police chiefs have no incentive to stay on the job for more than a couple of years, because why would they? I mean, you can't blame them, but it's not good public policy. So other non-public safety employees generally get 2% accrual rate, and they can't retire as early with a full benefit. So I think that, you know, you guys are talking a little bit past each other on what the real issue is. I think the real issue is you need to get the public safety.
So you're saying a cop shouldn't make $67,000 a year?
I'm saying, listen, this is a junior cop, a rookie cop making $67,000 a year, but not really, because they all get overtime. Pretty much every full-time cop, brand new, makes $100,000 a year from day one. So I'm saying that's my point in their salary is it's a slightly different issue. I'm not, you know, whether they're overpaid or not. What I'm saying is they're paid very well. And on top of that, they're accruing at a higher rate. They're accruing at 3% a year. So say they make $70,000 the first year.
All right.
3% of that is their accrual rate. So after, when they retire, you know, they're retiring at 90% of their last salary, whereas a non-public safety employee has only a 2% accrual rate.
All right. Well, we got the point. Thank you for calling in, Eric. We're going to take a few more calls, and then we'll get responses. Let's hear from Eileen in Mountain View. Hi, Eileen.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, how, if this goes through, how will it affect contracts in general? I mean, it seems to me this people keep talking about it as a promise, but what it is a contract. And I personally would hope that the public employees that I deal with were well paid, were high quality people, and I'd like them to be well paid. Thank you for taking my call. Bye.
All right, thank you. Dave, how would this affect contracts?
Well, first of all, as the mayor had said, that it doesn't abrogate collective bargaining contracts, but the initiative specifically says if the employer negotiates for 180 days and doesn't get the employees to agree to a cut or eliminate their pensions, they can unilaterally implement. So it abrogates contracts. And to the caller's point, in San Jose, there's been a huge exodus of police from that city. The crime rate has gone up. The police officers are leaving San Jose in droves because of the cuts that they made to the police officers' pensions. The mayor keeps referencing 90%. That's the maximum a police officer can make. They cannot make more than 90% of their salary in their pension, no matter how many years they work. The average police officer doesn't make 90%. That's the top end. And I think this initiative will drive people out of jobs like that, and where you have to risk your life to do the work. And if they're going to, in the middle of your career, just cut your pension, you're just going to leave and find other work.
Mayor Camp, what about that?
I'm really surprised to hear that, because it's very hard to find other pension plans that are as lucrative as the ones we have for public safety. And by the way, I do believe there's a premium for people who expose themselves in harm's way and have the physical demands that someone in public safety has. So that part of it I don't have any problem with, but it is very hard to find a pension plan that's going to be better, and you would have to ask why somebody would leave to do that. But I do want to respond to something that Mr. Lowe said about the Supreme Court. What was interesting to me is in the last couple of months there's been a federal court that ruled on a retirement benefit issue, and they looked at the state constitution, and they said there's nothing there that says there's a promise. Now, I think it's an open interpretation. There are honorable people who can look at this on both sides and disagree in terms of what they're reading. That's why we need this initiative. We need clarity in terms of what can be talked about in the negotiation process. The initiative, by the way, says you can't make, unless there's a fiscal emergency, and that's going to be a very rare circumstance, unless there's a fiscal emergency, the dialogue takes place after contracts expire for up to 180 days, both salary, The accrual rates of pension benefits and other terms of pensions could be part of the dialogue. Yes, there's an impasse procedure. That's there already. No city has ever said, okay, we're going to cut your salary entirely. No city is going to say we're going to cut away your pension benefits entirely. There will be honorable packages that will be on the table. They will just simply be different from what we've had. You know, the thing that strikes me is the last two callers, I think, have expressed some of the concerns that I hear from citizens in our city. How do we do this so this sounds reasonable for the man on the street who's never seen salaries, public safety or non-public safety employee salaries in our city? They're good salaries. They're good pension benefits. For those who have no dream of ever having any kind of pension retirement like that, it has to sound like a reasonable thing to them. And part of that is being able to make adjustments where adjustments need to be made.
Well, and also, I mean, Pacific Grove is an expensive place to live, right? I mean, $67,000 with like a family of four would be hard to make ends meet.
Well, and that exceeds the general household income in our city.
So the mayor,
it is an expensive city. There's no question about it. Not by the way, not all of our employees live in our city.
The mayor seems to be saying that if somebody in the public's not making as much as somebody in the private sector isn't making as much as somebody in the public, the answer is just to drive everybody down. Mm-hmm. And you know, what we ought to be doing is having salaries and retirement benefits so that everybody, including the people in the private sector, can retire with dignity. And the fact is there's lots of people in the private sector that make very good salaries. There's in the Silicon Valley, the average salary is much higher for a public sector worker than it is for a private sector worker than a public sector worker. And the last caller basically said, you know, we want our police officers and firefighters to, you know, have a decent wage. And the mayor's moving in exactly the wrong direction.
That is Dave Lowe, chair of Californians for Retirement Security. They represent 1.6 million current and retired public employees. Pacific Grove Mayor Bill Camp is on board with the Pension Reform Act of 2014. The mayors of five California cities just filed papers with the state to put this on next year's ballot. They need 800,000 signatures. These are mayors in San Jose, Anaheim, Santa Ana, San Bernardino, Pacific Grove. Anaheim's mayor is the only Republican, and the rest are Democrats. And we'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this pension debate? If you're a public worker, what is your pension? What do you think pensions should be? And you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. If you've seen any changes in your retirement plan, we'd love to hear from you. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. Let's hear next from Jean in San Quentin. Hi, Jean. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm a public service worker. And I just wanted to make the point, I know a lot of people have children who are in their 20s who are unable to find work. And if they change this pension plan, then people will probably wait longer to retire because most people try to plan for their retirement based on how much they make, not necessarily on their age. Excuse me. So that would just delay a bunch of people from retiring. Those people who delay their retirement also tend to have maxed out on their step increases, so they tend to be the best paid employees. So I don't know how much money the state would actually save by doing this. Mm.
Well, that's a great question. Mayor Camp, how much would the state and, for example, your city save by doing this?
Take your answer off the air. Thank you.
It's a number that I actually don't have off the top of my head right now. But I believe on a kind of a first-pass basis, we could save about 5% of our current pension cost, and that would be very substantial, 5 to 7%. What we're facing right now is over the next several years, CalPERS tells us our pension costs are going to go up by 50%. I think we can moderate that greatly and over a longer period of time reduce the costs to where they become actually sustainable for our city.
You know, I would point out that, you know, the savings is purely speculative because it depends on how much is cut.
Right.
So, you know, the more you cut an employee's pension or retirement, the more you save. Now, there are costs to the state and to the taxpayers in this initiative that are not speculative. The initiative says that every single city who's not funded at 80% has to have a plan to get to 100%, and they have to go out, and every employer has to get an actuary and develop a plan and go to their board. And most of the plans, almost 90% or more, are not at 80% today. So, you know, we know that that's going to cost the state up front, the taxpayers, probably hundreds of millions of dollars. The initiative also says if it passes and it goes to court and the state doesn't defend it, like the Prop 8 situation, that the proponents, the mayors, get to defend the initiative and bill the state for the legal cost of defending this initiative, which is going to cost the state millions of more that will go into the lawyers of the proponents of the initiative.
If I might comment,
sure.
Rose,
Mayor Camp.
I think Mr. Lowe actually just made the case for why this is so necessary. 90% of the plans in the state are in difficulty. Everybody's waiting for magic to happen. We're hoping that next year something will be good and the plans will get better. The indicators are not positive at all for that. I really am a believer that for healthy financial cities, and it's the only way for cities to be able to treat their community, their citizens, their visitors, and their employees well, they have to be healthy and you have to take some action. And I think it is time to take that action through this initiative.
All right. Well, thank you again for calling in, Jean. Let's go next to Evie in Berkeley. Hi, Evie. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm a retiree. I've been retired since 1995, and my retirement check comes in with $2,000 every month, and with no the interest COLA is not compounded, so that it doesn't it increases by $40 a month. And I'm concerned about teachers. I mean, state teachers' retirement is also part of the debt that is owed. There is an unfunded obligation that is ballooning at $17 million a day from the state, and that has to be paid and funded at 85 or 100%. One doesn't know. So I'm certainly scared and worried. A lot of the retirement benefits that we received were put in place instead of salary increases. So what happens to the lower-paid state employees? We do not qualify for Social Security because of the government pension offset and the windfall elimination provisions. So I know that that sounds like gobbledygook to a lot of people, but these are the facts for people, retired teachers, of which there are at least a million. Mm.
Well, thank you for calling in, Evie. Mayor Camp, what would you say to employees on the lower end of the scale?
Well, for employees throughout the scale, I think it's very important that they have some degree of predictive assurance in terms of what their retirement benefits can be, recognizing that the world is a very uncertain place. Markets go up, economies go up and down, and it requires adjustments on the part of virtually everyone. What is interesting is that I also heard her recognizing the underfunding situation, and that introduces in and of itself a great uncertainty for people about their benefits. I personally believe the better trade-off is to have flexibility to adjust accrual rates on a going-forward basis. It still allows people to predict what their retirement benefits will be, but it doesn't create the specter that at some point the pot will go empty, and in particular for teachers right now, but there are other plans that are in great distress. At some point, their planned retirement isn't going to be there unless we take some action to get a more sustainable process in place.
Dave, what should people be thinking about this, especially those who are at the lower end of the scale?
The funding of pensions is by nature, you know, unpredictable, because what happens right now, for example, is most pension systems, they fund about 65% of the pensions based on investment earnings, and the other 35-40% comes from the contributions. And the fact is that the pension funds across California are better funded today than they were in 1980 when Governor Brown was last governor. Employers were paying more as a percentage, and the funded status was down at about 50-55% back then. even after the economic downturn and the fiasco on Wall Street, pension funds still are now at about the 75-78% funded ratio. So, you know, when we talk about relative status, we're way better off today than we were in 1980. And you know, the economy will go through ups and downs. They project a 7% earnings rate. The mayors are saying, well, we should, you know, use a 5%. CalPERS earned over 14% this past year. So, you know, we got to a point over the years where we were over 100% funded when the stock market ran up. And the mayors are basically saying, we'll never get back there again. And they don't have a crystal ball that is going to tell us where the economy is going to go. We fund pensions over a 30-year span for a reason. It's because we know that we're going to go through cycles. And we believe that we're back on an up cycle and that pensions are moving back towards stability.
All right. Well, thank you for calling, Evie. Again, that's Dave Lowe, Chair of Californians for Retirement Security. And we're also joined by Pacific Grove Mayor Bill Camp, who supports the Pension Reform Act of 2014. If the backers can get more than 800,000 signatures, it will be on next November's ballot. It's supported right now by five California mayors, four Democrats, one Republican. And I'd like to spend some time talking about the funding for this, because San Jose Mayor Chuck Reed, who is spearheading this, said that this is going to cost $30 or $40 million. It's going to be a very ugly fight with unions. And as you know, Pacific Grove Mayor Bill Camp, I mean, these propositions cost so much money. $40 million. I mean, that's a lot of money. And right now, according to reports, Mayor Reed has received $300,000 to sponsor the measure. $200,000 came from an organization sponsored by Texas billionaire John Arnold. He is a former Enron trader. He's now a hedge fund manager. What are your thoughts on that? $200,000 coming from a Texas billionaire?
You know, I don't know the specifics of the funding on this. I think what we've seen in California for campaigns on a number of topics is that money comes in from unusual places. All I know is that in our city, we really need to do something about the pension issue, that it has affected employment security in our city, it's affected services to our citizens, and that we need a change at the state level. That's what I see. You know, I'm from a small town, and a small town, in a way, our city of 15,000 is very simple. We're primarily a city of homes. We don't have big business. We don't have multinational headquarters. We don't have all the other traditional stuff. All I know is that based on our revenues and what our sources are, we're not going to see a magic influx of capital. We need to look at all the parts of our financial health, and this is one of them,
well,
and it's a very important part of it.
How would you explain the money that's going to flow into this measure to your constituents and to the public at large, because the Frying Pan, an online website, reported that there was a summit in Sacramento on May 22nd at the Citizen Hotel, and it was hosted by the Reason Foundation, a libertarian public policy group. They're backed by David Koch of the Koch brothers. You had San Jose Mayor Chuck Reed was there. A number of, like the president of the California Pension Reform, executive of California Public Policy Center, unionwatch.org. And so there's going to be a lot of money from these groups being poured into this. What would you say to citizens who want to know more about why this is happening and why these groups are backing this measure?
Thank you. And I know that for some people that that this will be the center point of the topic. My belief is that it's imperative that the campaign follows all the campaign laws as they're written, that we do it in a transparent way as appropriate per the financial disclosure laws. There are many different opinions and many sources of those opinions. Some people are in a position to back those opinions, but I believe this initiative has been very well crafted to be the right kind of solution for this state. It's been crafted by people who understand the issues in the state, and that's what the actual vote must be about when we go to the ballot next November.
Dave, do you think that this could cost up to $40 million, as San Jose Mayor Chuck Reed has said?
Yeah, it easily could. Initiatives are very expensive in California. We just recently saw in the Prop 32 initiative that proponents of the initiative spent over $40 million trying to get it passed. It failed miserably. Much of the money for Prop 32 it came from the same sources that we're seeing Mayor Reed shop to, the Koch brothers, They just got fined $1 million and were told to basically pay back to the state over $12 million that they funneled illegally into California from Arizona. You know, John Arnold, another out-of-state, you know, Enron billionaire, funding this initiative. We haven't seen any real significant money come from Californians. We haven't seen any money come from the people that the mayor keeps talking about that want the private sector workers who think this is such a great idea. All the money's coming from right-wing ideologues from out of state.
So how are the unions planning to respond financially?
We're going to respond the way we've responded to all these other attacks on our rights and our benefits. We will organize our members to vote. We'll go out and walk precincts and work at every as hard as we've worked every other initiative. And every time they've done this, we've won. We already have done polling on this, and it shows that 63% of the voters already oppose breaking the promises to current teachers and nurses, firefighters, and school bus drivers.
And quickly, Mayor Camp, last question to you. We just got another email. Why make this a political battle, says Stephen, rather than something negotiated at the bargaining table? Why should this issue be reduced to sound bites and political ads when there is a retirement crisis for everyone in California? And we have just not much time.
Yes, and it's unfortunate that it's going to become a character, because at the bargaining table, we can't even talk about any change in the pension benefit level. It can ratchet up. It can never be adjusted back to a sustainable level. It's simply not available at the bargaining table under current.
That's not true. The employers can negotiate and have negotiated increased payments on the employee side, which is probably the biggest factor in reducing cost. And hundreds of agencies up and down the state, cities, counties, have negotiated already for the employees to pay more for their own pensions.
All right.
At the bargaining table.
We're going to have to leave it there. We'll definitely continue to follow this. And remember, tomorrow is Election Day. Dave Lowe is chair of Californians for Retirement Security, and Bill Camp is the mayor of Pacific Grove. Thank you for joining us. And thanks for listening. Thank you. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. What is fueling the world's food crisis? On the next Your Call, we'll have a conversation about our inability to feed the growing population. 1 billion people around the globe go to bed hungry every night. According to the Food and Agricultural Organization of the UN, food production must be doubled by 2050 to feed an expected 9 billion people. So what are the root causes of hunger? Join the conversation and call in with your questions on the next Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter, or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.